BBC News.
And the news was read for the last time by Neil Sleat. Coming next here on Radio 4, Sarah Millican laying bare our daily rituals and favourite cheeses. Elephant in the room in a moment. But first, looking at things from a different angle with Matthew Side.
On BBC Radio 4.
We're looking at familiar problems, but trying to illuminate them in a new way.
A new series from Matthew Side.
It's taking some of the biggest issues that we confront and then discovering there's a completely new way of looking at them.
Where did Stockholm Syndrome come from?
Basic statistical error.
Attitudes towards sex and sexuality.
The referendum campaign.
Sideways with Matthew Side on Radio 4.
When you bring lots of different perspectives together, you often develop a more complete picture.
Available now on BBC Sounds.
And now on Radio 4, Sarah Millican is back with a brand new panel of guests to find out who is the habitual Harriet and who the oddball Odette.
Welcome to Elephant in the Room! Hello and welcome to Elephant in the Room, the show about normality, the concept that the year 2020 drop-kicked off a wind-blasted cliff into a raw sewage outlet below. We surveyed the great British public on important issues such as what does your nose smell like and is a face flannel really just for your face? And from the ones who didn't threaten legal action, we ran all the data through a computer from which we can work out which of our guests this evening is statistically the most average Annabelle and which is the most unorthodox Ursula. It's fun, but it's also maths, so get your kids to listen and tick it off as half an hour homeschooling. With me are some women and a man, only this time our panel are all online because it's 2021 and we're all still gazing wistfully out of our towers, wondering when handsome Prince Vaccine will ride in and rescue us with a needly kiss. I'll be asking the panel questions from the survey. There are no wrong answers here, but there are a lot of strange answers. To protect the identity of our more enthusiastic oversharers, we've changed the names. There shouldn't be any similarity to any real people, living or dead, unless your name's something like Regina McMuffin or Timothy Doggan, in which case I'd say you had bigger problems in life. Let's meet our guests this evening. My first guest once snapped a tendon in her finger while taking off her leggings. God knows what happens when she tries to take her bra off. Please welcome comedian, author and presenter Cal Wilson.
Hello.
My next guest stopped a fight on the tube by chatting up one of the blogs. That is quite incredible. I've never heard of anyone talking on the tube. Please welcome comedian and actor Ninya Benjamin. My next guest adopted some ducklings when she was just 3 years old. When she was six, she had a lovely warm duvet. Please welcome comedian and actor Bethany Black.
Hello.
When my final guest was a kid, the first thing he did at the beach was dig his own toilet. Apparently, he used to be a Labrador. Please welcome comedian and writer Gary Delaney.
Hello.
Before we get into our questions, we asked all of our guests to bring in an object that shows how average or maverick they really are. Let's see who brought in something from Gran Canaria and who brought in their Canaries Gran. Cal, what have you brought to show us?
I've brought the Christmas wreath that I made this year. It's got angels, it's got little baubles, and it's covered in googly eyes because my husband wanted to get a security camera for the front door. And I said, if we just put googly eyes on it, at least people will feel like they're being watched.
That's quite creepy, but quite Christmassy as well. It wasn't still up on the door. Is it been down already?
We used to have the tradition of leaving the Christmas tree up till May, but I thought, no, pull your socks up down
sooner. What's that tradition? Is it laziness?
Totally laziness.
That's an excellent object. Thank you very much, Carl. And Ninya, what did you bring in?
I have bought a Dragshin man. He's a Dragshin man. toilet roll holder. He's got full makeup on, see, folks?
Oh, look, it's amazing.
That's the fairy you want for the top of your tree.
And I don't keep it in my toilet. I keep it in my sitting room, and it was for my birthday, and I love this traction, man. And this toilet paper is, if I ever run out, yeah, I've got a spare toilet paper, and it will always be there.
I was wondering why you might need a toilet roll in the living room.
Is it first lockdown when there was no toilet roll? Just in case anyone breaks in, they're not getting this one.
Thank you very much, Ninya. And Bethany, what have you brought in, please, love?
I've brought in my favourite spoon.
Oh! Well, tell me about your spoon.
It's the spoon I had ever since I was a little kid. It's the exact right size to be a proper teaspoon, and it's got a really good action, and it's my favourite spoon.
I love that. You said it's got a really good action. I have to say, I'm 45 and I've never had any trouble with any spoons in my past.
What I really loved about that, Beth, was when you started describing your spoon, we all leaned into our cameras like, ooh, spoon.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's got a favourite spoon, don't they? That's...
Are we sure that Yuri Geller isn't on the Zoom? Because this could go really bad.
I'm autistic as well, so this is the spoon that I have every single day. Like, so if Yuri Geller is listening, you stay away from my spoon.
Thank you very much, Bethany. Excellent object. And Gary, what have you got for us, please?
I have got...
Ooh. Oh, my God.
That is a life-size model of a zombie, which I keep in my zombie room. It's a room full of horror memorabilia. It's basically what you have if you're a middle-aged man with good disposable income and no kids.
Has she got a name, Gary?
Yes, yeah. Well, to me, she's just one of the undead horde, but I know that you call her Miriam.
Yes. Because sometimes when Gary's away and I'm locking up the house, she frightens the what's-it out of me, so I call her Miriam, and I put a tea towel on her head like she's a budgie cage.
I don't get scared by her, but the only time I get confused is if you go in there first thing in the morning and you're still a bit bleary and it looks like a full-length mirror. That's concerning.
Yeah, she hasn't got enough meat in her for it to be a full-length mirror for me, Flower. That's excellent. Thank you very much for your object. Let's crack on with the show and our first question. We asked our survey, how many nights a week do you cook? Let's start with you, Carl. How often do you cook, my lovely?
Does cooking also count getting chocolate out of the fridge?
No.
If it does, 7 nights a week. Otherwise, it's 3 or 4.
Why do you keep chocolate in the fridge? Is it because you're in Australia?
Yes, I am in Australia. It's going to be 35 degrees today.
No!
So we're all in the fridge today. Yeah, I cook 3 or 4 times a week. It's supposed to be more, but Friday's takeaway night and Saturday is, oh, should we just have takeaways again? And Sunday is, it's still the weekend, let's get takeaway.
Oh, wish you were my mum.
No, but Miriam would have to stay in the garage. I'd lose my mind every time I went past the zombie room.
So 3 or 4 nights a week. Thank you very much, Carl. How about you, Ninya?
First of all, chocolate is meant to be kept in the fridge. Chocolate cannot be at warm. It's a travesty. I don't know how people do it. It's wrong.
You must have good teeth. I have really bad teeth and I can't do fridge chocolate. Oh, well, I suppose I could if I just sucked it for ages. Try to remember that this goes out at 6:30. Ninya, how often do you cook?
I cook as well about 3 nights a week. I love cooking. I am a product of my own hand. You know, I can cook and I'm overweight and I eat my food. Mmm!
Thank you very much, Ninya. And Bethany, how about you? Do you cook?
I do. I cook. I cook 7 nights a week. Being autistic as well, I tend to have the same thing a lot. I get like really into something and go, oh yeah, I'll have that every night for 3 months.
What are you currently having?
Currently, I make corn chicken nuggets and I do that with mash, and I make like proper Christmas mash.
What's Christmas mash?
Christmas mash, it's got at least 100 grams of butter in it and I'm about 100 mils of double cream. So like you, Ninya, I cook and I am a product of my own cooking.
Thank you very much, Bethany. And Gary, how often do you cook?
I'm going to say 14 times a week because I often do lunch times as well. Sausages and bacon and things like that.
The house always smells a little bit like onions in a pan. Always.
In terms of like proper cooking, I'd say it's about 5 nights a week. It used to be a lot less, you know, until pandemics, it was hardly ever really.
Mm.
Being an on the road comic is a great excuse never ever to cook. This is true, but horrific. I was cooking us Christmas dinner.
Oh, yeah.
In your old flat a few years ago, and realised that it was the first meal I'd cooked from scratch that year.
Can you imagine how many Nandos we'd had? Don't be sad. We're living the life of Riley. Thank you very much, Gary. The top answer on our survey was every night, which is understandable. Cooking's a great way to hide from the rest of your family in the kitchen for an hour a day. And afterwards, you've got a lovely lasagna to show for it. 16.35% of the survey said that they cooked 6 nights a week, what I like to call the sodded it's Friday demographic. If the good Lord wanted us to cook on a Friday night, he wouldn't have invented pre-mixed canned cocktails. Just under 10% of our survey said they didn't cook any night of the week. Either they live with a good cook or they are single-handedly keeping the nation's chip shops afloat during these difficult times. I'll clap for those heroes. A study last year by Leatherhead Food Research found that 70% of young people enjoy cooking international recipes from scratch, but get frustrated when they can't find the right ingredients at the local supermarket, which might explain why the street value of saffron is greater than heroin. So at the end of that round, Bethany was our cut and dry cutie pie and Gary was our misfit Margaret. They both get points. The scoring on this is quite difficult, but let's face it, nobody's listening to this to find out who wins. It's not strictly. Let's move on to our next question. We asked our survey, what was your favourite playground game? Ninia, I'm going to start with you. What was your favourite playground game, love?
It was Kiss Chase, because in them days, I could run. So, yeah, defo Kiss Chase, and I would chase the boys, and then they would chase me, and I would run really averagely fast, not too fast.
So when you're the chaser, you run really fast, and when you're the chasee, you're just a bit slow.
Yeah, just a bit, and get caught.
Thank you very much, Ninia. Bethany, how about you?
This is how sad. My favourite was talking to the dinner lady. That was my favourite. I just used to walk around the playground holding her hand and talking to her for half an hour. That was what I did.
Oh, Bethany, I think we would have been friends at school.
I would pay for that as a service now. I would pay a dinner lady just to walk around holding my hand and say nice things.
That's what you need, just someone who can listen to you while you hold the hand, and shoo off any scary kids.
Dinner ladies are always a decent size as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think I would make a good dinner lady now. I've got the arms for it, for sure.
Just need a tabard.
Got one.
Oh, fantastic. Freelance dinner lady in. That's you.
Freelance. Thank you very much, Bethany. Oh, that's filled my heart with joy. It really has.
One of my friends got badly injured by a dinner lady. This is true. Because he was standing sort of underneath her when she rang the bell for end of break. And hit him on the head and he had to go to hospital. Absolutely true.
Oh, my. And those were some big, heavy bells then.
Yeah.
Wow.
Presumably, this wasn't actually your favourite playground game, was watching people get injured, Gary, but what was your favourite playground game?
I'd shout, ring that bell faster. My favourite game was Aki 1-2-3. It's basically what hide and seek is called round Birmingham.
Oh, OK.
But it's different that you have to sort of run back to the post to try and beat the person who found you, and you go Aki 1-2-3, and if you're the person who's on, you sort of shout to 1,000, and then you go, ready or not, here I come, or any other Fugees lyric. One time.
Killing me softly. You see, Count to 1,000 and then we'll come and find you. Sounds like the sort of thing kids would say to me, and then I would just never see them again. I would just be like, 999, oh, they've all gone home.
Oh, that's really sad.
I've got friends now, it's fine. Thank you very much, Gary. And Cal, how about you? Were there different ones in Australia? You're New Zealand, though.
I'm a New Zealander living in Australia, which is doubly complicated. So I don't know whether they were internationally recognised games. Did you have Stiff Candle?
No.
That sounds like a personal question, doesn't
it? When I got older.
So Stiff Candle, this is not my favourite playground game, but it's like tag, and you chase someone, and when you touch them, they go stiff. And then... this is sounding worse and worse as I describe it. They go stiff, but they have to have their legs apart. Looking back, this may not be the game I thought it was. Until someone crawls between your legs.
I think when I was at school, that was called Doctors and Nurses.
That was my favourite game.
What was your favourite?
My favourite game was one that we made up called Horsey, which also probably sounds bad in the context of Stiff Candle, but Horsey was when you had a hula hoop and you trapped a small boy. I was a small girl at this stage too, but you trap a small boy in the hula hoop, and then they would sort of tow you around like a horse made of boy. So it was like you pretended...
That's all right.
They were a horse and they just towed you around the playground. I suppose a bit like Catch and Kiss, but you reserved them with a hula hoop.
Reserved?
Did you go to a normal school?
I don't think so.
It doesn't
so.
Sound like it in retrospect, does it?
Thank you very much, Kat. Top answer on our survey with over 16% of the votes was Bulldog. Bulldog is a runny, fighty, grabby game that I never played because I had my Walkman on and couldn't hear the other kids begging me to join them. Kelly Pencils said, looking for any reason to go back into the library. I feel like I know Kelly Pencils. I feel like I am Kelly Pencils. I always liked that game where you have to dig around looking for bits of glass and dog turds. What's that called? The sandpit. Brenda Smelly Rubber said, playing Star Trek with the boys but complaining that, as I was the girl, I had to stay on the Enterprise while the boys beamed down to the planet. Bloody typical that. They're off having adventures and she's washing space dishes. So at the end of that round, Ninia was our Midland Millicent and Bethany was our Stephen Strange. They both get points. Yeah. Time for a quickfire round now. We asked our survey what was the film that scared you the most as a child. The top answer was Jaws, but can any of the panel guess what the 13th most popular child terrifying movie was? Bethany, I'm going to come to you first. Ooh, what do you think was the 13th?
Oh, because that's a good number for something scary, isn't it? I'm going to go with the thing that I found the scariest when I was a child, which scared me the most, which was the Michael Jackson Thriller video. which, whilst not technically a film, I can't sleep with a light off to this day, and I still have nightmares about synchronised dancing. Yeah.
It is traumatic.
It is. I mean, at least it scared me away from Michael Jackson.
Thank you very much, Bethany. And Gary, what about you? What do you think was the 13th most popular child terrifying film?
Cling Film.
Cling Film.
It's the way it sticks together. It sticks to itself. It's horrible.
Thank you, Gary. And Cal, how about you?
I'm going to say The Witches. I've never seen it, but everyone talks about it as being a traumatic movie from their childhood. The thing that scared me as a child was Sesame Street. I thought up this whole thing in my head that Oscar the Grouch lived in our toilet system. So when you flushed the toilet, that was Oscar the Grouch's doorbell. And if you didn't get out of the toilet by the time it stopped flushing, he'd come out and eat you.
So, no attention being paid to actually where he lives, which is in a dustbin. Everybody knows that.
I know. Also, the other one that scared me was Cookie Monster, because he ate things that started with C, and I start with C.
Oh, my God.
I think I need Bethany's dinner lady.
We all need Bethany. an Eastern lady. Thank you very much, Cal. And Ninya, how about you?
You know, I actually was going to answer this properly and say it was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, yeah, right? But then I realised that I need to be funny, so I'm going to...
I mean, why show the rest of us up?
But what really scared me as a child was Evil Dead, because I watched it as a child.
Maybe yeah, there's your first problem. You watched an 18-plus horror film.
That was how I got into horror films as well. That's why I've got a zombie room. When I was 11, I watched Return of the Living Dead with my older cousins, and it was terrifying, and I slept with the light on for 6 months, so that's now why I've got a thing about zombies. And it was only when I watched it years later, getting it out of the video library, that I realised it was a comedy. I just thought it was genuinely terrifying when I first saw it.
I've been to comedy shows like that.
Thank you very much. Good answers. The 13th most popular child terrifying film from our survey was The Wizard of Oz. Just over 2% of our respondents said that they had been terrified by the heartwarming family movie in which a child kills a witch, is made to wear her victim's shoes, and is chased by demon monkeys while she tries to find body parts for the talking scarecrow who follows her around. The scariest thing about The Wizard of Oz as you get older is how much you start to sympathise with the Wicked Witch. If a kid was walking around wearing my murdered sister's shoes as trophies, I'd be angry too. The second most scary film people saw as a little kid was Nightmare on Elm Street. And if you're thinking, whoa, who was watching that as a child? You have to remember it was the 80s. Parenting was different then. In the 80s, by the age of 10, if you weren't already making your own dinner, doing all your own washing and smoking 20 a day, you were put into care because you'd never survive down the pit. Our survey, Joey Funsize, said the most frightening film was Twister. Joey, that's not a film. That's a floor-size board game you play with your mate who you secretly fancy, just so you can hopefully get a chance to rest one of your boobs against their ankle. The most popular horror film of all time, according to IMDb, is The Shining, which, it says, is about a lovely writer whose family keep annoying him. I think that's just a message from our writers. Thank you, ladies. So at the end of that round, Carl was our harmonising Harriet and Gary was our poles apart Polly. They both get points. Let's take a look at the scores. Bethany has 5,000, Ninya has to go to jail without pass and go, and Carl has just sunk Gary's battleship. On to our last question. We asked our survey, what's your longest running friendship in years? Bethany, how old is your longest friendship, please?
I'm going to look really sad again. 42, and that's my mum. Oh, I don't. She's awful. No, She'll be listening to this. Viv, you're not. You're lovely. I love you very, very much. I call her by her first name because we're really close. We've known each other for ages. Well, because that's the thing. I always think of mum, that's her job title. And like, I feel like we've moved beyond that now.
So you've been friends with her for 42. Are you 42? Yeah. Or have there
42.
Been some years you didn't get on?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, in which case, 35.
Yeah, teenage years, got to discount those, surely. Thank you, Bethany. Gary, how about you?
I met my friend William when we were 15. Oh. So it's just like 32 years ago.
Yeah.
There was a little concert in Knoll Park, and we met through a mutual friend, and he threatened to punch me.
Your best friend of 30-odd years threatened to punch you?
Well, yeah, so I couldn't remember what we were arguing about, so I texted him, what were we arguing about? What on earth was going on? I don't remember. It's too long ago. And he said that I threatened to punch him. I genuinely have no idea. It's all lost in the mists of time. Given when this was, I think it was probably an argument about, like, Rubik's Cubes, Sherbet Dibdabs, or pornography under hedges.
Could it have been? Thank you, Gary. And Carl, how old is your oldest friendship, please?
35 years. So we met when we were 15, my friend Robin from high school, but we kind of lost touch for a few years. And then she came to one of my shows a few years ago and we reconnected after the show. And what I know about that is it must have been a good show, because if it was awful, she just would have filed out quietly.
She would have just texted to say that she couldn't come.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Carl. And Ninya, how about you? How old is your oldest friendship?
Melody, when I was 5, which 5 from 40 is
35.
Add another 10, that's 45.
45.
46, 47, 48. 48
years. 48
years,
wowzers.
Yeah. Yeah. I was waiting for, oh my gosh, she don't look that old, but it's all right. I don't want to hear it now. You lot can all get lost.
It's a bit blurry, that's all. Everybody looks a bit younger. It's nice. Thank you very much. An amazing 6.53% of people who answered our survey said their longest friendship was 30 years, with many of you saying friendships are more important than marriages. True, but unlike most marriages, you are allowed to be in several at once. 2.52% of you have had a friendship for 50 years. Tara Nostril says she has known her friend Janet Septim through thick and through thin, but hopes one day she will make gravy the correct consistency. Binky Chapstick says her longest friendship is with her French pen pal, who she's written to for over 20 years. They've never met up, but she knows she lives near a boulangerie and her father works in a piscine. In a study by Bravo Media, 76% of people aged 18 to 54 said they started a relationship with a friend of the opposite sex, and when it was over, they still shared a connection, by which they mean a broadband contract they couldn't get out of for months. So, at the end of that round, Cal was our same ballpark Mark, and Ninya was our screwball Susie. They both get points! That's all we've got time for. So if you still don't know how normal you are, you just have to go back to shouting, "Am I normal?" through your letterbox at passers-by. Elephant in the Room has prizes for the person closest to and also furthest away from the average. And we have provided the best prizes a radio comedy budget can buy. They are definitely real and not just some mouth sounds we made into a laptop. Our most ubiquitous Eunice was Cal, and so your prize is a small but loyal 19th century battalion. Remember to clean up after them regularly. They are riddled with dysentery. And our most idiosyncratic Ian was Gary. So you get a lovely kiss from a beautiful mermaid. It's wet, it's fishy, and it'll lure you to a watery grave. Enjoy. What a great audience you've been. Special thanks to those who filled in the survey. All of your data has been forwarded directly on to Bill Gates, so now there's no point in worrying about him microchipping you. Please join me in thanking our excellent guests, Cal Wilson, Ninya Benjamin, Bethany Black and Gary Delaney. I've been your host, Sarah Milliken. Good night. You have been listening to Elephant in the Room. It was written by Sarah Milliken, Gabby Hutchinson Crouch, Juliet Myers. The producer was Leanne Coop, and it was a Chopsy production for the BBC.
And that was the last episode in this series of Elephant in the Room, but you can head to BBC Sounds if there were any that you've missed.